Can we all open our Bibles to the book of Colossians? Colossians in the New Testament. While we're turning there, during the time that Paul was imprisoned in Rome, he wrote this letter to the Colossians in Colossae. And that was a city in the Roman province. You could think of it as modern day Turkey. And Paul did not plant this church. In Colossae. He did, however, if you look at Acts chapter 9, he was called by God, by the Lord, to minister and bring the name of the Lord to the Gentiles. So he sees this opportunity in Colossae. They're being threatened by this ideology that's infiltrated and infected their doctrine and their worship, and he's taking this opportunity to write to this church, to this Gentile church. Before we move on, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, God. Good morning. We pray, God, that you bless this time of worship as we sit under the teaching of your word. We pray, God, that as your church, we would be washed by the water of your word. We pray, God, as your saints, we would be equipped with the word of the Spirit, which is the sword. We pray, God, that you encourage us. We pray, God, that you correct us. We pray, God, that you teach us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. You're welcome here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so one of the problems, the ideology that was really cursing Colossae was Gnosticism. It's around today. But Gnosticism is a philosophy that threatened the church in three specific ways. It threatened the church by teaching that God is good, but the physical realm is strictly evil. It taught that Jesus was only an incarnate deity of God, therefore refuting that Jesus was fully God. So that's the second way. And the third way that they were infecting the doctrine and the worship of the church in Colossae was that you have to strive to this higher knowledge. We could think of that. There's some sects and groups out there that you must esteem to higher knowledge to get to have better membership or better affirmity of your salvation or participation in that group. So Gnosticism was really wreaking havoc in the church in Colossae. And so what we're going to see here is Paul's antidote to that ideology and philosophy. Real fast, what do we do at our meetings, part two? We should have the passage from last week in Hebrews behind me. Praise the Lord. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So last week we studied what it meant to meet together. And we studied a passage that usually was used only when someone, regrettably, leaves the church or goes to worship somewhere else or chooses not to worship at all. We usually pull Hebrews 10 up and says they should be here worshiping with us. But I think it's also important to study it while we're together. It's in the Word of God. We should study it together. And one of the last things that the writer of Hebrews writes in Hebrews 10:25, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So what we're going to look at is how to faithfully obey this command to encourage one another. So let's look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. Colossians 2, verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance by understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. So verse 1, I want to remind you that Paul did not plant the church in Laodicea or the church in Colossae. So they haven't met Paul. They've probably only heard of him. They probably read his works, one of his 13 letters, while it circulated around Ephesus and Smyrna and Iconium, all those other cities. So they know about Paul, and they know about his apostleship and his authority as they read this. And Paul is saying that he has a striving to see them. He has a striving to visit them. But unfortunately, during this time, he was imprisoned in Rome. However, Paul is called to minister to this church. Paul has this burning desire to reach Colossae. He has this burning desire to teach the people in Colossae. He has a burning desire to connect with them. And if you can remember Paul's conversion in Acts 9, like I said, it is his calling to do so. He is being obedient to the authority of our Lord. Verse 1, read it along with me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance and understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. So if you think about the southern part of California, Southern California, the coast has all the cities, Newport, San Diego. But then if you go a little bit more, there's LA. And if you go inside more California, there's Riverside. And then you go some more, there's Indio. And where Laodicea and Colossae are neighbors, much like Indio and Palm Springs are. So this letter is designed to reach both churches. And in this specific region of Asia Minor was Gnosticism, this pursuit of philosophy and greater knowledge. So we see here in verse 2 that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. So when the Bible says that their hearts may be encouraged, is Paul's word for the church in order to bring them into a growing and deeper, nurturing maturity. But how? How does Paul desire for them to encourage one another? Well, he gives two primary ways to do that. First, by being knit together in love, as we see here, and to reach the riches of understanding and knowledge of God's mystery. So we're talking about this word encouragement. After all this historical context, encouragement or encourage is the Greek word parakaleo. And that is a Greek word that the old English used to say to describe someone who is an encourager. You are a paraclete because you come alongside people. Because you encourage them, because you call them to be courageous. And from that same word, encouraging, to comfort, to encourage, is also the same word we find in Hebrews 10, as is the habit of some, but parakaleo one another, comfort one another, come alongside. And this reminds me of when, not too long ago, Tandy and I owned an old beat-up Mitsubishi Galant. It was nothing had to do with Mitsubishi. It was just the car was beat up. And I was driving one day, and the tire exploded. And then the tread was, like, flapping against my car. So I pulled over, and I called Dave. Dave would probably know because he worked on the Galant as much as I've driven it. I called Dave to see if he could pick up and help me out, but he didn't pick up his phone. So I was like, okay, fine. So I popped the trunk to see if there's a spare tire. Mitsubishi put one in, but it was flat. So I could say that that the spare tire is a great illustration of how it comes alongside the car, the other three tires, and it continues to move the car. And that's true. That is a good use of parakaleo. But I have a better one because the tire was flat. So instead, I called Chrissy. Chrissy, I hope you remember this. I called Chrissy, and, well, Dave was probably elbow deep in an engine bay at the time. So Chrissy called, and I said, hey, can you help me out? And she said, yeah, sure, I'll be there as soon as I can. And, you know, her availability was not simply the encouraging part. Her timeliness was not the encouraging part. Well, one of the encouraging parts was that she eventually got there. She threw me and my spare tire in her tiny car, and she took me to the garage where she taught me how to use Dave's air compressors to fill it back up with air, and she drove me back. But besides that, that's not the encouraging part. The encouraging part was when I was putting it on, the spare tire, and she said, and I was like, ah, Chrissy, I don't know what to do. How am I going to express this frustration to Tandy that we have yet another expense to take care of? And she said, Mike, you know, whatever, things just happen for a reason. And the Lord will provide a way for you and Tandy to thank him for this moment. And you know, it could have, Chrissy could not have come by, and she could have just said that simply on the phone. And that alone was encouraging. That was the parakaleo. That was the comfort and strengthen and calling to courage. So being knit together in love, we see here in verse 2 there that their hearts may be encouraged by being knit together in love. And being knit together in love is the binding force that brings us to unity. Being knit together in love, the word for love here in Greek is agape that we studied last week. Being knit together in agape is the joining force that causes us to provoke one another to love and good works and holiness. Being knit together, agape is the binding force that allows us to be both edified and corrected by the truth found in scriptures by one another. So how may we be encouraged? Point number one, let us be knit together in love. Let us be knit together in love. So verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged by being knit together by love, in love, and to reach all the riches of fullness, full assurance of understanding, and the knowledge of God's mystery. So, understanding and knowledge of God's mystery is a mysterious clause in and of itself. But and Paul mentions this mystery that God has throughout all of his letters to the church. And the Colossians, since they have this driving intellect to pursue higher knowledge and pursue higher understanding because of Gnosticism, Paul decides to touch their hearts and say, hey, you know what? Who has better knowledge and a better understanding? It is the mystery of God. And praise God that he provides that, and it is this. The mystery of God is Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's not philosophy. It's not Plato. It's none of these guys who think about what it means to be alive, what it means to die, what it means to pursue knowledge. No. The full knowledge, full understanding is only found in the mystery of God, which is no longer a mystery because it is Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be awful? Say we're in Colossae and this guest speaker comes up and pulls a fast one and says, you know what, the only way to be assured of your salvation is to pursue this understanding that you don't have. Wouldn't it be awful if the only people who were assured of their salvation and being saved are Bible school graduates? If you never went to Bible school, then you cannot be assured of your salvation. Wouldn't it be awful If the only people who reserve their salvation and the knowledge of God are seminary students and their graduates. It would be worse if the only people who were secure in their salvation were the people who were doctoral candidates and doctoral graduates in the Christian faith. That just continues to pull my relationship with God further and further away from me. So that proves, well, the scriptures show that Gnosticism, of course, is a heresy and is a misteaching if ever applied to the Christian faith. So Gnosticism has already infiltrated the church, and it is forcing the entire church to question their faith and the authenticity of the Bible because the church members were not aware of this mystery of God. So Paul, like I said again, has this burning desire to reach and teach this church. So praise be to God that Paul has made it clear to us that Jesus Christ is the revealing of God's mystery and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the question is, the mystery before the revelation of Christ was, how can God, as a righteous judge, forgive sinners? And Paul says, I know the answer. Jesus Christ. Another mystery is this, before the revelation of Christ, how does God adopt for himself people who were not born Jews? How can we be a part of that family? Well, it's found in the gospel of Jesus Christ, not higher knowledge or higher understanding. How does God turn away his righteous anger from his enemies? Through faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Gnosticism, I so desire for our church to be able to combat that type of reasoning with the fact that the mystery of God and the understanding of it and the knowledge of it, which is the gospel of Christ, we would now be equipped to combat that type of ideology. We have another passage for you. Philippians 2. That is also true. May the Lord lift up his face upon you. Yeah. It's okay. Let's all turn there. Oh, there you go. Okay. Thank you, Tom. Thank you for your ministry. So if there's any encouragement, parakaleo, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, and being in full accord and of one mind. So I ask you, how may our hearts be encouraged? One, by being knit together in love, and two, point number two, let us remind one another of the understanding and knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How may our hearts be encouraged? Let us remind one another of the gospel. Amen. Follow along with me once again at verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance and understanding in the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. In order to continue to combat the growing apostasy of Gnosticism, Paul enforces why Christians and why the bride of Christ is to protect itself from these persuasive, that's a better word for this, for plausible, for these persuasive arguments. And it's Christ alone. Paul says, in Christ alone are found all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Greek word for wisdom is Sophia. That's where we get the name Sophia. We also get the word for knowledge in gnosis or gnosis. That's where we get the word gnosticism, to know, to have knowledge. So we must remember and we must remind one another of the gospel. And that's only found through the scriptures. The only way we can encourage one another is, one, by us personally having a relationship with God, by being able to read His Word and reiterating it by encouraging one another of the Word of God and the Gospel. Real fast, let's return to Hebrews 10. I believe I have it again. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up, remember that's provoke, let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good works, not abandoning to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging, parakaleo, one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So similarly, last week we studied about how we shouldn't abandon our own meetings. While we meet, let us encourage one another in point number three. Let us not forget to come alongside one another. Let us not forget to come alongside one another. You know, there's something special happening. There's something special about the church as a whole. There's something special about the Trinity Baptist. And that's this. We are a redeemed community. We are a redeemed community. And there's no other enterprise on earth that could ever resemble the function and nature and the attributes of the church. You know, the church is a body of believers that meet together for the sole purpose of first fellowship with our God and Redeemer, and also to fellowship with one another. It's with that in mind, I want to solemnly warn you that it is an idle philosophy to say that you come to Trinity Baptist to come for the word to be preached, but not the people. That is idle. It is stale. It is a stale philosophy to say that you come for the worship, but not for the people. It is unbiblical for you to come. It is unbiblical for you to say to yourself that I'm going to come for the potluck, but not stay for the people. We are a redeemed community. We fellowship with God, our Redeemer, and then we fellowship with the believers of that same common faith. So it is in the gospel and in Christ for us to say we come to Trinity for the word of God to be preached and for us. We come to Trinity Baptist Church to come for worship and for us. So let us encourage one another and let us be knit together in love. Let us remind one another of the gospel and let us not forget to come alongside one another. As opposed to the world, we're constantly surrounded. Am I right? We're constantly surrounded by malicious gossiping. We're always getting torn down. We're always in ear's reach of bitterness and division and lies and lawlessness. But we, as the bride of Christ, we are called to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're called to not allow any unwholesome talk to come out of our mouth. We're called to not only look out for our own interests, but for the interests of others. We are a redeemed community. But some of you may say, you may be sitting there, Mike, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. My soul is so tired, Mike. My body is broken. I've been hurt too many times. And I can understand that, because it happens. We're not perfect. But I want to remind you, I want to encourage you, that despite that brokenness, you are needed here. You are needed here. Just because you're broken or hurt doesn't mean that we no longer need you. No, you are still needed here. And you may think, oh Mike, I pray all the time asking for God to resolve this thing or to encourage me because this week was so hard. Yes, pray for that. But don't just leave your eyes closed. Open them so that you may be recipients, so that you may be aware of the opportunities to be recipients of that encouragement and also ministers of encouragement. Let us encourage one another in our hearts to be knit together in love. Let us remind one another of the gospel of Jesus Christ and that it is sovereign over any philosophy. And let us not forget to come alongside one another. You know, I can't believe that it's already been a week since Matt and Janet's wedding. And it almost feels like it's been a handful of weeks already. But now that the ceremony is over and now that the celebrating is over, Matt and Janet now have to start their new lives. Janet has the responsibility to honor and respect her husband. And now Matt has the responsibility to live with his wife in an understanding way and wash her with the water of the Word of God. And now they are in a place where they must grow into the people that God desires them to be as man and wife. And if you think about it, we also are in that kind of place here at church. The celebrating is, I've repented of my sin, I believe in Jesus Christ, dunk me in the baptism. That's the celebrating. But now that that is over, now that that part has resolved and, you know, it's been some time, we're kind of in a rut in the marriage, in the Christian walk. Until the day of the Lord comes and Christ takes his bride, we are here learning what it means to be his bride. Amen. And let's remember, just like how Dave so often says, walk, may your vows go before you. May you always remember your vows. May we also remember that we have this common salvation, this common faith that draws us into a redeemed community. And before we meet Christ, it was all about ourselves. But now, through the washing of the Word, we too, collectively, both individually, personally, but collectively, might too walk in newness of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this church. Lord, there are 100 people who would not know what to do if it wasn't for you and this beautiful body of believers. Thank you, God, for your saints here. Thank you, God, that you bring us together to encourage one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.